Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina astafa. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, from amongst the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Rabbul Alameen has blessed the Ummah with the name At-Tawwabu. For a few sessions now, we have been covering this very important and beautiful attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At-Tawwab actually means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who accepts your tawbah, your repentance. Scholars have written volumes on this subject. Ibn al-Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi writes that there was a very pious man in one locality, an old person known for his piety, for his buzrugi, and people would go to him for advice. A time came when he became so ill that the rumors were that this was his last stage. So a group of people went to the bedside of this great man, a very pious man, and they said to him, Hazrat, can you give us some advice, some nasiha? Can you give us some nasiha advice? And so he opened his eyes and he saw that the room was full of people. And he said to them, Anzartukum sawfa. Anzartukum sawfa. Anzartukum sawfa. Which in the Arabic language is translated as that I am warning you against sawfa. I am warning you against sawfa. Now what is sawfa? Is it a disease? A serial killer? Who is sawfa? What is sawfa? And so Ibn al-Mubarak goes on to explain that sawfa is one word in the Arabic language. As it comes in the Quran, sawfa ta'lamun, sawfa astaghfiru lakum. So sawfa is an Arabic word which is translated as I will. I will. And so this very pious man was warning people that be very careful. The most powerful tool of the shaitan is the word sawfa, I will. I will. He makes a person say this all the time, I will. So a person will say, I will become regular in my salah. It's okay if I'm missing a few salah. Maybe I'm not regular in my Isha salah or my Fajr salah. A time will come, I will become a good Muslim. I will go for Hajj. I will start wearing a hijab. I will give charity. I will do this. I will recite the Quran. I will become good. And so what shaitan does, it's what we call in English procrastination. procrastination. He likes to delay things. This is his most powerful weapon. If you wake up in the morning and you see, oh Fajr, the sun nowadays it rises very late, 7:40, and Subah Sadiq, if you're following this masjid, it's around 5:45, 5:50. And Masjid-e Falah is 6:15. So only after Subah Sadiq is your Farz Namaz that starts. And so now in winter, it's hard to miss out from your Farz Namaz. But Shaitan actually tells you, 5 minutes snooze, 5 minutes snooze, 5 minutes snooze. And you start snoozing and snoozing until you see the sunlight coming out. That's what he does. All the time. He has made full intention, I'm going to go for Hajj. Full intention. Something comes up, excuses, he won't go for Hajj. He makes an intention from now on, inshallah, you know, I will give a certain amount of my salary in the path of Allah. For sadaqah or lillah, I will give it. Inshallah, there is great fazila. When the time comes, he gives it for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. Then shaitan dabrak, sawfa. No, 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 be careful. Do it later on, you're still young. A lot of the youth, they have a girlfriend, and they do all sorts of things that are wrong. Shaitan is saying, don't worry. You're a young man. If you don't do it, who will do it? If you're not going to do hanky-panky and mess around, who's going to do it? People have a habit of gambling. Gambling. With beard. Our youth are taking drugs. And they know it's not... Believe me, Allahu Akbar, the amount of bayans that are given in this modern era, it is nothing compared to going 10-15 years back. 10-15 years back, you had to physically come to listen to something. Today, mashallah, you see, ladies are telling me from Australia that Maulana Sahab, we are listening to your bayan. From America, from Pakistan, get text messages. They're giving me mashwira that when you finish Asma'ul Husna, this is the topic now you have to start. This is what they are telling me. They've already given me two or three topics. Thousands of women are actually listening. Allahu Akbar. It's not about bayans. Until we don't change this attitude, sawfa, it's not going to work. It's not going to work for myself. And it's not going to work for yourself. Every man is for himself. We cannot procrastinate. We cannot delay things. You know, a lady, mashallah, you get married and you say, you know what, I'm going to pay you £3,000 mahar. But it is deferred. It is deferred. Then after a while, when he gets married, he says, maaf kari deni tu ave hu. Forgive me, huh? Forget it. Your husband and wife, forget it. Bichari, she will say, okay. The most powerful tool. And Ibn al-Qayyim says, the loss is in two things. Number one, possibly by delaying things, he will never do tawbah. By then his death will come. By then his death will come. Number two, in that period of time, if this man is in some kind of a habit of doing something which is wrong or guna, he might be gambling, he might be watching things that he shouldn't, he might be doing things that are wrong, he will become so addictive to it, it will become part of his life, that then to get rid of it, it is like climbing Mount Everest. It will be very difficult. I personally met a brother, mashallah, this long beard. My beard is nothing. Very big, long beard. Mashallah, long beard. And he said to me, Maulana Sahab, you know, I have to go to the casino. May Allah forgive me. I know it is wrong, but I have to go to the casino. Allahu Akbar. Why? This is what Sharia is telling us. At-tawwabu. At-tawwab means immediately. Immediately do your own operation. Immediately do things that are going to benefit you. And let me give you some benefits of tawbah. Like how Huzur alayhi salam is a blessing. Is he not a blessing? Greatest blessing. Huzur alayhi salam is the greatest blessing. The Quran is a great blessing. The masjid we have is a great blessing. Subhanallah. Everything about Islam is a blessing. Like how Huzur alayhi salam and Quran is a blessing, Tawbah is also a great blessing given to us. Tawbah is a great blessing given to us. It is a dawa from depression. Greatest blessing. Now imagine there are two people and both are friends. Imagine. Give you an example. Two people. One is brother Abdullah. Abdullah is a very pious man. Prays his namaz. And he follows the sunnah of Huzur alayhi salam. And he is a man who abstains from guna, sins. Sinless, mashallah. He abstains from guna. Then another friend is Abdul Rahman. Abdul Rahman is a man whose life is full of sins. All the time doing guna. When it's time for namaz, have you prayed your namaz? Yes. But in his heart, he knows that I am lying. I haven't prayed. Did you do this? Yes. He doesn't do anything. His entire life is filled with guna. Now in reality, this man and this man is chalk and cheese. There's a lot of difference between the two. A lot of difference. The mercy of Allah and rahmat is with this person. This person, the mercy is at a distance because of his guna. But there is one thing that in less than 1 minute, less than 60 seconds, this brother whose name is Abdul Rahman, he has the power to stand in the same level as his brother Abdullah, or even, subhanallah, pass him in his level and in grading with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can even overtake brother Abdullah in 60 seconds. Imagine he decides and he does tawbah to Allah with complete sincerity. One thing only. What did he do? Tawbah. Complete tawbah with Allah in 60 seconds. Now there is no difference between Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. Imagine he was so far behind. But just by doing tawbah, he comes so close. In fact, if his ikhlas is great, he will even go in front of his friend. This is the power of tawbah. A man for 60, 70 years was a kafir. 70 years, kufr. And he comes and he does tawbah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Everything is deleted. Everything is deleted. Possibly, in fact, if he dies, he won't have any guna, and you and I might have a lot of gunas, sins. This is the power of tawbah, my respected brothers. The beauty of tawbah, why is it such a great blessing? Today, when somebody becomes naraz with you, unhappy with you, to make him happy is difficult. There is no guarantee. But tawbah is such a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if you use tawbah in your life, you are keeping Allah ta'ala happy all the time. How powerful is that? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah save us, if He is unhappy with us, then if you want to make Him happy, simply take out tawbah and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, and you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with you. This is how powerful tawbah is. My brothers, if you are going to come to the masjid and bayan just to listen, that is great reward. But inshallah, just to make another intention that Allah Pak, even listening to the Quran and to the hadith is great reward. But inshallah, I will implement this in my life. I will actually change for the better. Nothing is hard. And you see, mashallah, how things will work out. And the beauty of tawbah is that a person, when he does astaghfar and tawbah together, Allah opens the doors of rizq, sustenance for him. Allah opens the doors of rizq for him. A lot of the times when people are finding it hard to earn their livelihood, sometimes it's because of the guna they are doing also. You will find a person who is doing guna, there is no barakat in his wealth. No barakat. There was one person who came to me, and Allahu Akbar, the money that Allah was giving him every month, and he was actually quite alone, you know, not so many family members. But even the salary and the wealth that was given to him, there is no barakat. There is no barakat. And he is in debt. And you ask him, how is it possible? You are alone, one man, and how come you are always in debt? How come there is always qarza? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away barakat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away barakat. And when a person is in the habit of doing tawbah and istighfar, Allah says, يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Allah opens this dunya for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them barakat. Barakat in their life, barakat in their children, barakat in their wealth, barakat in everything. And it is barakat that we need to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how merciful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to make tawbah. And I did mention this hadith to you. If a person commits one guna, a sin, then the right angel speaks to the left angel that the guna has been registered. This man has committed a sin. The guna has been registered. The angel on the left is recording it. The one on the right is saying, don't record. And so the angel on the left says, why not? And so he is the Amir on the right. And the one on the right says, you have to wait for 6 hours. Subhanallah to bole. Brother Umar, you're sitting on the chair. Subhanallah to bole. 6 hours. Now imagine you commit some guna, and then the angel has to wait for how many hours?
6 hours.
This is in the hadith. Sahih hadith. Even people like Sheikh Albani have classified this hadith as sahih. And Sheikh Albani, you know, he's a man who even za'if hadith, he's not distinguished between za'if and mawzu'at. And so even he says this is sahih hadith. And then in 6 hours, if that man repents, the angel says, delete everything. There was no guna committed. After 6 hours, this man still is not given the tawfiq to do tawbah to Allah Pak. Then that angel has no choice, but only one sin is registered. How much guna is registered? One guna. And then thereafter, if this man does a sincere repentance tawbah to Allah Pak, then again that is deleted. How merciful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My respected brothers, today Allah has given everything to us in the plate. Don't play the blame game. Blame yourselves. I should blame myself, you should blame yourselves. Allah Pak has opened the doors for us. How much more knowledge? What do we want? How merciful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In 1973, when communism was at its peak, one Muslim man from India went to Russia for training in 1973. And so he went to Russia for training. They were saying in 1973, in the early 70s, that the whole of Asia will become communists. The whole of Asia will become. It was at its peak. There was no such thing as respect to religion. And so this Indian man went for training, and this is his own words. And when he got to Russia, the people that were around him, it was the day of Jumu'ah, so he said to the people that were there that, you know, we want to go and perform Jumu'ah, if you show us the masjid. So the locals there in the city said to him, "Bhai, you know, that the government has shut all the doors of the masajid. The masjids have become hotels, motels and storage areas, storage venues. Everything's become hotel. There are a few masjids, but they are also locked." So he said, "Never mind, I was always a Muslim in India and I'm a Muslim also in Russia. It is Jumu'ah, show me a masjid." So they said to him, "Let's go to this masjid." So they went, they showed him there's a masjid, it was locked. And the keys was at the neighbor's house, which belongs to a Muslim. The neighbor was a Muslim. So he knocked on the door and the key was given to him. And so that Muslim family said, "Look, be careful. I'm giving you the key. But if the police find out, they'll take you, they'll put you in prison, they might even kill you." And he said, "It's fine, khair, give me the key." So the key was given to him. He opened the gates, opened the masjid doors, went inside. He says that the masjid was not clean at all. And so what I did is I started cleaning the masjid everywhere. And when I saw the time, it was time for Zohar, time for Jumu'ah. So I went outside and I gave azan. When I gave azan, all the local kids that were Muslims, they all came where the gate was, the front court of the masjid, and they were staring at me and they were happy. All of them were happy. But nobody would come in the masjid. Nobody wanted to come in the masjid. And so he said, "I had no choice but to perform my Zohar Salah alone." And so he performed his Zohar Salah alone in the masjid. After Zohar Salah, he went out the masjid, locked the doors. And there was this young boy who came and says, "Uncle, salam alaikum." So he said, "Wa alaikum salam." He says, "Please come to my house for tea." So this man says, the way he was speaking, I could not refuse. So the father was there, and so I went to the house to have tea and biscuits. So this boy was looking at me. So I said to him, "My son, do you know how to recite the Quran?" So he says, "Yes, of course I know how to recite the Quran." So this man from India, he said, "I brought with me a pocket Quran, a small copy of the Quran." And so I opened the Quran and I said to him, "Acha beta, pray from here." And the verses were, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ku anfusakum wa ahlikum nara." So this boy started to look at the Quran but would not pray. He says, "Pray from here. Do you know how to read the Quran?" He says, "Yeah, but pray from here." He could not read. So the father said to him, "Can you recite the verse for him? Can you recite the?" So the father, this man recited the verse and he says, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ku anfusakum wa ahlikum nara." And this boy picked it up straight away. And he read one quarter and he read one half and he was starting his third quarter. Until that man said, "Okay, mashallah, I was shocked and surprised to see this. How is it possible?" So the father said that in Russia, if anybody finds out that you have a copy of the Quran, they would kill you. What would they do? They would kill you. But we are Muslims and we had to preserve our iman. So amongst our elders, the elderly, there are a few who are hafiz of the Quran. There are a few who are hafiz of the Quran. So the elders, what they did is that they went to the farms and we would want our youth to go to the farms and the police would think that our children are going to the farms to work and our elders would recite the Quran to our children every day and that way they would memorize the Quran. And in our village, there is no copy of the Quran, but we have hundreds who are hafiz. There are hundreds who are hafiz, but yet we have no copy of the Quran. And if you put Quran in front of them, they could not even read the Quran. Is this Surah Fatiha or is this Surah Baqara? But how did people preserve the Quran and how Allah protects His deen? How Allah protects His deen? There are hafiz everywhere. But they've never seen. So when you said to him that recite from here, he's never seen a copy of the Quran. Usne dekhi nahi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us great blessings. Great blessings. We should not fall in this trap of shaitan, of sawfa, I will. When Allah Pak is saying, I am tawwab. Remember my respected brothers, in the hadith Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, yustajabu lil abd. Allah always accepts the dua of a believer. Ma lam yasta'jil. As long as he does not do isti'jal. We go for advice to that person, to that person, to that person, to that person. Allah Pak is saying, why are you running like a headless chicken every way in every direction? Why don't you come to me? I am the one who will solve your problem. Have you taken time out to come to me and put your masail in front of me? The problems that you have put in front of me. We say that Allah does not accept our dua. Why He does not accept our dua? There are a few reasons, my respected brothers. Sometimes Allah does not accept the dua because when He makes the dua, His heart is not attached to the dua that He's making. His heart is not attached to the dua that he's making. So he's making a dua, but his heart is not there. He's not concerned. The heart is not attached. That is why. And sometimes Allah Pak does not accept the dua. The reason for that is, Allah Pak wants to see and Allah wants to test that person. How much does he love me? How much does he love me? So Allah Pak is saying, this man has been asking. He asked me once, twice, three times, four times, five times, 10 times, 15 times, 20 times. He's been asking from me for 6 months now, 7 months. Allah Pak is saying, it's alright. I want to see how much he loves me. Allah Pak is actually seeing that does this person turn his face away from me? Does he turn his face away from me? It is a test. Allah Pak is wanting to see how much connection you have. Very important. Sometimes Allah Pak does not accept your dua because when you are making dua, that is the time shaitan comes and is whispering in your heart that you are a very sinful person. Allah will never accept your dua. So you lose the energy in making the dua. Your mindset becomes such that really will Allah Pak accept my dua? And when you have no energy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes does not accept the dua. And so when we make dua, we must also have that connection. You know the youth, when they watch football, and they, you see that if anybody is going to talk to them, they won't listen. Not now, not now, I'm watching football. Not now, I'm watching this. Sometimes you're playing a game at home. No, not now, don't disturb me, I'm concentrating. Oh, because of you, you see I lost. All the time you disturb me. When it comes to things of dunya, how much dedication and time we give. How much concentration we give. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have we got the energy to even fight shaitan? Very important. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every time the dua is accepted, until he does not have this attitude of isti'jal. What is isti'jal? That he wants the results immediately in front of him. He shows haste. He wants everything now. Allah Pak, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, this is not the sunnat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives when he wants. That is why in the Quran, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا. There are things that you think are not good for you, but Allah is saying it is good for you. وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا. And sometimes you think that this is good for me, but Allah is saying it is not good for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows what is good for you and you don't know nothing. You go and you want to buy a property. And it is the best property. It is the property that you wanted. Exactly how you wanted that house. You have the money, you have everything. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you think it is good for you, but it is not good for you. And Allah diverts it. And you can't buy that property. And you go home and you start sulking. And you say, oh ho, what happened? I had everything. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, you made dua, but I know what is good for you. Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua for Huzur alayhi salam. The dua was accepted after how many years? Two and a half thousand years. The dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam was accepted for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to come to Makkah Mukarrama was accepted after 2,500 years. This is a Nabi of Allah. And then in his lifetime, when he became touching 100, he made dua, Allah Pak, I want children. Allah Pak, I want children. In a few years, when he is nearly touching 100, Allah gave him 2 children. In his lifetime, Ismail and Ishaq. This is the Qudrat of Allah. One dua accepted after 2,500 years, and one dua accepted in his lifetime, in the last portion of his life, immediately. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua. We don't know. Imra'atu Imran, the nani of Isa alayhi salam. The Quran describes her as the wife of Imran. She is the nani of Isa alayhi salam. She made dua, Allah Pak, my child that is in the stomach will become waqf for Jerusalem, the Masjid Aqsa that was there. And he will be the khadim of the masjid. And the nani gives birth to a girl. She says, Inni wada'atuha untha, Allah Pak. It's a girl that I gave birth to, expecting a boy, because a boy and a girl, there is a difference. But subhanallah, that girl was greater in virtue than even a boy, any boy at that time. Any boy at that time, Allahu Akbar. Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam said that there are many who are very, very intelligent amongst the men folks. But there are a few from amongst the women. There are a few amongst the women. Because women are naqis. Women are naqis. Forgive me if ladies are listening at home. I hope you people have had your meal. I don't. I have it after my lecture. So, subhanallah, Huzur alayhi salam said, amongst great women, the first lady he mentioned, Khadijatul Kubra. Allahu Akbar. Khadijatul Kubra. And who is Khadijatul Kubra? Huzur alayhi salam's wife. The one who had this honor to stay exclusively in the nikah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam for 24 years. While she was in the nikah, Huzur alayhi salam did not take any woman in nikah. She is the mother of all the children. She is the first to embrace Islam. First to embrace Islam. She is the first to perform namaz with Huzur alayhi salam. The first to accept Islam. The first to perform salah with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah al-Azim. And the only lady who had this honor that when she passed away, Huzur alayhi salat wa salam entered her grave, and Huzur alayhi salam lifted her entirely and put her down in the grave and made dua for her. Allahu Akbar. What a woman. And the first lady to get the salams from Jibreel alayhi salam. And the first lady to get the salams of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine that. Imagine how intelligent she must be. The mother of Bibi Fatima. Mother of Bibi Fatima. Very powerful lady. And then Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam then said, Maryam, the mother of Isa alayhi salam. Very intelligent woman. And then Huzur alayhi salam, another very intelligent lady, was the wife of Fir'aun. Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. Then in another hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, another very intelligent lady is Aisha. Another very intelligent lady is Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. So these were great women, and imagine all of these women, If you think about it, the scholars have mentioned what was unique about these ladies. These ladies were generally connected to a prophet. These ladies were generally connected to a prophet. And so the ulama say, if a man or a woman wants to become a genius, then he has to be connected to a messenger. Your degree, your profession does not help you. It will only help you if you are connected to a messenger. The messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise you will lose everything. And so subhanallah, these were great, great people. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. He will always accept a person's dua. Sometimes what happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your dua immediately. You made a dua and Allah has accepted it immediately. Sometimes you make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reserve your dua. And what will happen? There is musibat that is heading your way. In your taqdeer, there is this calamity that is heading your way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes this dua and this dua becomes a shield of that calamity. Allahu Akbar. Shield. Sometimes there is an accident. It is impossible for a person to survive. He's still surviving. Allahu Akbar. And then sometimes Allah does not accept your dua. It is reserved for the hereafter. On the day of Qiyamah, when people will need a lot of support and help, Allah Pak will say to him, now you are in serious trouble. He will say, Allah Pak, yes, I have no a'mal, I have nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remind him, you know, out of love when you play with somebody, subhanallah. Acha, acha, do you remember that you made dua in such and such a time, you woke up for tahajjud, or you were in Arafat, or it was, you know, the night of Muzdalifah, or it was Ramadan, you made that dua, you were asking, did you get it? And he will remember. I'll say, no, Ya Allah Pak, I didn't get it. He says, you see, you didn't get it because I'm going to give it to you now. I didn't give it to you then because I wanted to give it to you now. And it is that one dua that will give him Jannah. And when he goes to Jannah, when he sees the blessings of Jannah, he will start to cry and he will say, kash, kash. It would have been better only if Allah Pak had not accepted any of my duas in the world that I was living in and had reserved everything for me in the hereafter. What beautiful Jannah Allah has given me. What is the takleef? What is the pain of this dunya? What is the pain and agony of this dunya compared to eternal bliss of the hereafter? Eternal enjoyment, comfort of the hereafter. What are these women that people cannot put their eyes down as compared to Hure'een? Why do you need to see something which Allah has not allowed? When Allah Pak is saying, I will allow you everything in Jannah. Whatever model you want in Jannah, that model will become yours. Whichever model you want. Whichever model. There was this one man who came to me. He goes, Malsab, I'm looking for a woman. I says, Mashallah. So I said to him, okay. Then he said to me, I will describe how that lady should be. I says, okay, bhai. Mushtaq is laughing. So, what happened? He took a name of this actress. And he said to me, Maulana, do you know this lady? I said, seriously, I don't know her. You know, I really don't know her. So, okay. So now he started describing the hair should be like this, the hand should be like this, the leg should be like this, the body should be like this. I said, stop, bhai, stop. I said, you are showing me conditions that even Imam Bukhari does not have for his hadith. At the rate you are going, I don't think you will ever marry, bhai. Don't be so fussy. Whatever Allah gives you, gives you. But Allah Pak is saying, I have given you all the blessings in Jannah. Everything is there. So we do a bit of sabr in this dunya, a bit of sabr in this dunya. Say no to zina. If opportunities come for zina, no. Save yourself from guna. Save yourself from illicit relationship. The computer is there, the mobile is there, shaitan is telling you, you know, this pop-up came, that pop-up came, you know, you can chat to this person. Why? Can't you please Allah Pak? If Allah gets angry with you, just say He makes you blind. Will you be able to see now? If Allah gets angry, just say He takes away your tongue. Just say He takes away your digestive system. Just say, you've seen people, bichara, they can't do peshab the natural way. There's a bag. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Allah is so Rahim and so Kareem. Why should we make Him naraz? But let me conclude, my respected brothers. For a person, for Allah to accept a person's dua, there is only three things that are needed. Number one, sincere repentance. So when he is doing tawbah, immediately he must stop that sin. Immediately he must stop from that sin. Immediately. Number two, he must have remorse, afsos, regret. And number three, he must have this firm resolve that he is never going to turn back to that guna. Now, so at this moment, say at 21 o'clock, 9 o'clock, I am making a dua, and in my heart I am making tawbah of a sin that a person I might have committed. So I am turning to Allah. Now, whilst I am making dua, I must train myself that I am sincere. What am I? Allah Pak, I am sincere. I am going to stop the sin. I have remorse. I have done something very bad. And Allah Pak, inshallah, I will not do it again. That is tawbah. Finished. Now at 9:30, what is it? 9:30, something happens and he does that guna again. Worry not. Don't think that now why should I do tawbah again? Because in 30 minutes I have committed the same guna. No. If you have done the same guna again, turn to Allah. In 1 minute, be faithful and loyal. Allah Pak, I slipped. Very sorry. Again I come to you, I will not do it. Even if you've done it for 100 times, do tawbah to Allah for 100 times. That is the only way to enter Jannah. That is the only way to enter Jannah. What shaitan makes you do is that when a person does guna and he can't stop it, the shaitan actually, وَيَدَعُ الدُّعَى, he stops you making dua and says, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. We had this person, I said to him, accept the kalima, and he knew everything. He said, no, I can't accept the kalima because I feel I have the need to drink wine. What is it? I am addicted to wine. So I have to drink wine. If I become a Muslim and drink wine, I'm a hypocrite. I said, don't worry, be a hypocrite, but accept the shahadat. Accept the shahadat. Allah will change your heart one day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Now, as we leave, just remember one dua. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, Huzur alayhi salam's uncle came, and he said to Huzur alayhi salam, remember, uncle has a very special relationship. He said to Huzur alayhi salam, that teach me one dua which is the most powerful. Teach me one dua which is the most powerful. And Huzur alayhi salam gave him a dua because he was old, a very short dua, but a very powerful dua. Huzur alayhi salam said, make dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah. Bas. Can you say that? Allahumma inni as'aluka, O Allah, I am asking you. As'aluka means aapko puch rahe. I am asking you. Allahumma inni, O Allah, I am asking you. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah. Bas. So what is afiyat? Afiyat means complete protection in this world and the hereafter from every kind of affliction. Every kind of affliction. In this world and in the hereafter. What a short dua. Allahumma inni asalukal afiyah. Now Hazrat Abbas took this dua. He went home after a few days. He came back and he says, O Nabi of Allah, you know, this dua is very short. I'm asking you for a very powerful dua. Can this very short dua be so powerful? So he wanted a long dua. Huzur alayhi salam laughed at him and said, Abbas, my uncle, wallahi, there is no other greater dua than the dua that I have given you. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah. And if you can't remember in Arabic, every day ask Allah Pak, give me afiyat. Allah Pak, I ask from you afiyat. Get in the habit, even if it means 1 minute, to make dua to Allah Pak every time after your 5 times a day salat, even if it is for 30 seconds, but make dua. And before you go to sleep, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us all the tawfiq. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Just a few minutes of muraqabah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك نستغفرك ونتوب إليك نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك.